Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Menachos Daf Ayin Aleph Menachos 71. In today's Daf Yomi, our Mishnah talks about certain circumstances where people and communities were permitted to harvest their crops even prior to the Omer, even though generally speaking there was a prohibition to harvest new grain before the Omer was waived. There were certain circumstances where it was permitted, and so says our Mishnah Kotzrin, it was permitted to harvest Beis Hashlachan, a field that was irrigated by people, Sheba Mokim, that was in the valley. Such a field will be permitted to harvest even before the Omer. And Rashi explains that the reason for this is because those fields go bad more quickly. And so therefore we have to be concerned that if we're going to leave it there, it's going to rot, and it'll be a great loss of money. However, aval lo gochin, even though it was permitted to harvest it, it was not permitted to stack it. And the reason why it was not permitted to stack it, Rashi writes in Maseches Pesachim, is because once it is lying there and it's been harvested, we don't have to worry it's going to go bad. And so therefore we can wait to stack it because we're concerned that while they are stacking it, they're going to come to eat it. The people of Yericho, Anshe Yericho, what they would do is Kutzrin Beratzon Chachamim. They had the permission, since they lived in the valley, they had the permission to harvest with the permission of the sages. I mean, the sages allowed that because of where they lived. However, Gochin, they would stack it, Shalobertzon Chachamim. The sages allowed them to harvest it, but the sages did not allow them to stack it. Nevertheless, they stacked it without explicit rabbinic consent, V'lo Michu B'yadam, and the rabbis did not explicitly object. And the reason why they did not explicitly object, Miri explains, is because prior to the Omer, it was not prohibited from the clear letter of the law. It was just a prohibition to stack it out of the concern that they might come to eat it. And so therefore the rabbis did not voice their objection to this behavior, which was not in accordance with their wishes. Says our Gemara is discussing this idea that the men of Yericho, the people of Yericho, acted in a way that was Bertzon Chachamim, in accordance with the rabbi's wishes in one area, that with respect to harvesting, but not in other areas, which was with respect to stacking the grain. So the Gemara says, "Man shamas le d'amar michu v'lo michu." Who is this position who says that they objected and supported under certain circumstances? That, the Gemara says, is the position of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara asks, "V'sava Rabbi Yehuda kitzira d'ansha yiricho b'ratzon chachamim have?" Is Rabbi Yehuda really of the position that the harvesting of the people of Yericho was with the permission or the consent of the rabbis? But indeed, says our Gemara, we have a brisa that says that this harvesting was not under the consent of the rabbis. And the Gemara is going to cite a full brisa, and we're not going to go back to answering the Gemara's apparent contradiction, but we are going to cite the things that are listed in this brisa, three of which seem to be in support of the people of Yericho, and three which are against them. So says our Gemara, says our brisa, Shisha Dvarim Asu Anshe Yericho. The people of Yericho did six things. Shlosha Bertzon Chachamim, three with the explicit permission of the rabbis. Ushlosha Shalo Bertzon Chachamim, and three where they seemed to go against the rabbinic will. These are the three things that they did with the will of the rabbis. Markivin Dekoim Kol Hayom, that they would graft from the palm trees, or they would work on their palm trees on the entire 14th day of Nisan. So this is something that they were doing, and this was Bertzon Chachamim, because even though, generally speaking, on the afternoon of the Eve of Pesach, people were not allowed to work, but the people of Yericho said that this grafting, which was not a heavy labor, was something that was not serious work, and therefore they were allowed to do it even on the Eve of Pesach. And the second thing is Korchen Es Shema, that they would wrap on the Shema. We're going to come back to what that means exactly. V'kotzrin l'fnei Omer, and they also harvested their crops prior to the Omer, because they lived in a valley. And all of these things were done with the will of the Chachamim. What did they do not with the will of the Chachamim? That they were matirin gamzios shel hektish, that they allowed themselves to use the branches from trees that had been consecrated to the temple, because they said that the branches, they claimed the branches were never really consecrated. They did this of the chorov and the shikma, of the carob tree and the sycamore tree. And The first thing that they did, which I skipped, was gochin lufnei omer, that they stacked prior to the omer. That is what our Mishnah had said. And then the third thing was portsin paratos beginosein bepardosein lehachil neshar aniyim b'shnei betzoros, that they made fences in their orchards to allow the poor people in years of famine and hunger, and also in the sabbatical year, to in order to come in to take these crops. B'shabbosos habiyom tovim on Shabbos. They would allow them to come and take their crops, even though these crops had fallen on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And so, technically speaking, the Gemara elsewhere discusses what is the concern. One of the concerns is that maybe it was muktzah. Another concern is that they may come to pick it themselves, and they allow them to do this on Yom Tov, even though you're not supposed to on Shabbos and Yom Tov, even though you weren't supposed to do it. So these are the three things that they did, not with the will of the Chametz. They allow them to take crops in a time where the poor people needed food. What is this idea going back that they would wrap on Shema? So the most common explanation about this is that Rabbi Meir says that they would not, in Gemara Pesachim, Rabbi Meir says that they did not make a break between the words of Shema Yisrael, which were accepting the yoke of heaven upon themselves, and the next paragraph after that verse of Ahavtas Hashem Elkecha. Others say that the concern was, Rabbi Yehuda says in Maseches Pesachim, that they did not say the phrase of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusol Olam Ve'eh, which is our custom to immediately insert after Shema Yisrael, Hear O Israel, the Lord Hashem, the Lord is one. Still else, Rashi says that they said it, but they didn't say it with a loud voice. So these are one of the things that they took upon themselves. Tosfos gives another explanation, that they weren't fully accepting upon themselves the proper interpretation of the Shema. The way they were saying Shema, they weren't fully accepting him. We see from here, it's not enough just to say Shema. We have to understand what Shema means and focus on the intent in order to fulfill our obligation.